So what's the minimum quorum? Okay, tonight...
You got the right...
We're going to start Elul Nairus, but we're not going to learn tonight. I decided we have to, even though... We have to talk a little sociology. Elul Nairus is about the penalty that the Torah prescribes, I guess you'd use the word, for... Call it rape, okay? Or mafitoi is when you seduce, a man seduces a woman. Now, Maseches Ktubos, it's like a different world than we're used to. That's what I wanted to talk about. Try to understand the world of the Torah, so to speak, even though the Torah is eternal, but you say, let's say the Torah is eternal. Okay, that's for sure. But quite obviously the Torah was talking, I'm giving an example now, before we start talking. Quite obviously the Torah is, the reason I'm talking like that, because like the Torah, it seems so weird. Like this knas, this special din that this whole perek and half of the fourth perek is devoted to, is talking about if a person is ma'anes, that's the word for rapes, ma'anes or ones, a naira, like either maybe a katana too, but a naira between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half. Once she's past 12 and a half, there's no more knas. Like, what is that all about? And stunners like the whole, there's like a value placed. It's strange. Like the penalty doesn't seem to fit. We look at it as a very terrible crime. And, you know, lock the guy up for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, send him to a psychiatrist, who knows what. And the Torah like gives him a slap on the wrists almost. And B'chlal, a lot of strange things in Ktubos that I want to talk about. My Hakdama is that even though the Torah is eternal, but this is a moshel, but it's very clear, for example, that the Torah is talking to an agricultural society. So many dinim leket shik chapeya trumas maisras. I mean, because really, the world changed after the Industrial Revolution. It changed. Now, you still need food to eat. You can't eat machines. So we're still an agricultural society, really.
Foundation.
A foundation, except it's now like the hamonam doesn't come in contact with agriculture, or at least not in the Western world, the modern world. We call it the modern world. So like, it's like a different world. So, but it's still, the base is still true. Now, very clearly, women got married very, very young, right? But so, this is how I want to talk about it, like, because it's strange. So it's only strange to us. What do I mean? First of all, their life expectancy was what? Was like 40, 50. Like, they didn't live very long. So you didn't have very long. If you're going to wait for 30 to get married, if you wait for 25 to get married, you don't have many years left, really. You see from the way Hashem created a person that a woman, when is a woman ready? I mean, if you look at the biology of a woman, you see, yeah, like, when is she ready to have children and nurse? It's at the age of 12, 13. So, the way I understand it, the Torah, I don't know if the Torah is dafka talking where life expectancy is so short, because their life expectancy was very long, or at least some people.
But it may have been back then like that, but I guess today, from a strictly biological perspective, women may be mature enough to have children at that age today, but their bodies aren't ready to actually send them out without damage.
I don't know if that's true. At 13, a woman can't have a child without damage?
Very tough.
I don't
My
know if that's
true. A nurse.
In Yemen, they got married that young and with no ill effects.
Depends, I guess, on which doctor you speak with. But okay.
You see, the body is ready. She's menstruating and she's lactating, whatever the word is. She gets breasts. She's ready to nurse. I don't know. I think, like, first of all, life was much simpler then. Like, you didn't do anything. You didn't go anywhere. There were no cars. There was no electricity. There was no...
You were on a farm.
And basically, you ate, and you had babies, and you died. There wasn't much else to do. I'm serious. It's like, what was... So, you know... That's how I think of it. So, and that's why the Torah talks about marrying off a daughter. So marrying off when she's a ketana, I don't know, how old was the father? Like, it was a way of taking care of the child, like making sure she's
taken care of.
Like, you know, you're mekadesh even a ketana. Maybe she didn't get married yet, because there's no point in getting married, because you can't have children yet. You can't have children, she's a gedola, until she reaches puberty. So, I don't know, maybe they were just maturer then. They didn't have teenage years, that's for sure. They went from being a child to being an adult. Like, there was none of this teenage baloney in adolescence. So...
Was the guy the same age also?
The husband.
Was he the same age?
I used to think that. I used to think the man got married at 20. But... In Yemen, they got married at like 15, 16. The Ramah, everybody knows, got married at 14. The Marshal got married at 14, 15. Rabbi Victor Miller, as a tzal, says that the Torah's relationship, don't tell this to your wives, that the Torah relationship between a man and wife was more like a Rebbe and a Talmidah. Like, she was his Ezer, but he was expected to teach her, to guide her. It was more of a father figure than we think of it more like I'm marrying someone equal to me. Except, you know, she has these jobs and I have those jobs. Rabbi Victor Miller says, in the eyes of the Torah, it's more like a husband, it's more like a father figure. So good, he has to be mechabidar and ohava and take care of her, and he has his shibudim to her. But, like, he says it's a Talmidah, like Sarah was Avram's Talmidah. And Rivka was Yitzchak's Talmidah. Al Kaponim, well, I'm trying to like become more comfortable with the idea that we're dealing with women who basically got married when they're... I can't agree with you, I don't know. When their body is ready to have a child. The body's ready to have a child at 13, 12, 13. Al Kaponim, maybe, I don't know. You see, in Yemen, they did up till recently.
I think he's just pointing out that it's more difficult. Like, there are women also on the other end, in their 40s, that can also have a child, but it's very difficult.
What do you mean by difficult?
Just saying there's it's physically a difficult process for them.
Childbirth or raising the child?
Like, the labor and the birth and the carrying the pregnancy.
And maybe back then also, women of that age, 13, 14, were a lot more mature than they are today, because a woman today, their body may be mature enough.
Physically
but,
mature, emotionally but, mature. That's for sure. Nowadays, they're not emotionally mature until 20.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. My point is...
I don't want to profile anybody, but you see black people, teenagers, getting pregnant at 13, 14.
But they're not emotionally ready to have a child.
But the kids are abused after they grow up.
Yeah. I think, based on the agricultural... But we're talking. Based on the agricultural model, that's why the Torah is eternal. But the Torah is like, is green. The Torah is green. The Torah is very natural. And we, like, the industrial, I think of it as the Industrial Revolution. Like, everything changed then. The whole life changed. And the medicine, I think of it as coming together. In other words, like, Yemos HaMashiach almost. Like, started having less, the average person started, first of all, it's beard, because in the Gemara you find always that the farmer is more connected to Hashem. He lives more with Hashem. He's always looking to see if it rains. He's looking to see if there's going to be arbanas, crops. And then the Industrial Revolution really is not such a, it was menatek a person from Hashem, while on the same time, life expectancy got more, and medicine made tremendous advances, and like, so you're in no rush to do anything. Like, you know, feminism certainly like changed. So, but we're looking. But so, what do I mean by the Torah is eternal? Terry says the Torah is your core values. You know, I have no embarrassment to look at the Torah and to extrapolate and say that, yeah, like, the perfect society, the ideal society, I mean, is an agricultural society where you're working, you know, you're producing. Like white collar workers don't do anything. They don't do anything, really, you know, so to speak. You're producing, and women are getting, like, what are you hanging around for? Once you're physically ready to have a baby at the age of 12, 13. Okay, that's one thing. So the fact that her marital prospects, so we're talking about that her marital prospects, and she's been really harmed by this ones or mafate. So that leads us to another inyan. Basulim, a virgin, was of an extremely high priority. That's what you see throughout Shas. It was like, again, like, to me, it's a little weird. Like, what's the big deal? So first of all, a bogeres is not 100% basula. On daftes and subis, it's not so clear. Either the basulim are very, kemat not there, it's already Pesach Pesuach, or there's no domim, dam basulim is like, I want to talk about that also, like, to try to understand it. So, and a bogeres wasn't like hanging around. A bogeres should be married already. Yeah. And that's...
Married, that's what, I said last month. Kedushin or
Nesuin? I mean, there was a year. Between Kedushin and Nesuin, there was a year. To prepare your trousseau and to buy clothing and to get jewelry and, like, to prepare yourself. I said this last month already. In the Torah view, a woman is not supposed to be hanging around in the streets. She either has a father or a husband. Like a ketana or an anaira is b'shus the father, and she's in the father's home, beis aviha, and then she's beis baila. Like, there's no... Women are almost non... It sounds strange to our ears, maybe. They're like non-independent entities. Like, there's something wrong with you if you're a bergeris and you're in, like, today, like, 15 years can go by easily. Easy 15 years go by, and
I don't think the concept is strange, though, because today, even when they're single past, when they're a bergeris, we still look at them as children or adolescents. They're still in their father's house. We don't consider it normal for a single woman who's already older and out of her father's house to just continue in a single life.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying we still look at it as normal for a woman to go from her father's house to a husband's house.
But we just look at it a different age that we're looking for. Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's a different age, but it's still the same concept.
So when a woman... Now, Basulim were of a very high priority. Why? So again, it's a little... The way I understand it, it's like... You buy a new car. So you want to drive it out of the showroom. Once there's 20 miles on the speedometer, and they tell you, they took it for a test run. There's apparently a certain. You see that throughout Maseches Tzuvos. There's a certain chashivus, and it's like that the husband should break the basulim. Like, please pardon the expression. I'm trying to make it like he opens the package. Like he you know, a woman is not a woman. Like, the Gemara's lashon is ain isha koreses bris ela lamisha osa osa kli. That's the Gemara's lashon. A woman is bonded, like, you know, becomes one. It's bonded koreses bris. That's the bris nesuin. And the Gemara talks about it in terms of hilchos Shabbos. And it's called Makeh B'Patish, perhaps, because he's literally making her into a kli. This is her completion as a woman. She's now an Eishes Ish. She has a husband. They bonded, and the breaking of the Basulim apparently is like I said, like opening a package, and a very high priority was placed on that. Coming back to our parrot, and the fourth parrot, which is that the Torah made a special parsha, like the Torah looked at a person that's ma'anes, or mafateh, a woman, outside of Nisuin, and you see clearly the avlo is not the rape. I mean, I'm talking about the knas. I'm looking at the avlo that he did, so I'm looking at when this knas. And it's a monetary fine, and he has to marry. We'll get to that in a second. But the avlo is only if she's a basula. Like, that's one premise throughout the parak. She has to be a naira, not a bulgaris. And a basula, not a ba'ula.
If he rapes a ba'ula,
there's no knas. I don't know. He'll. I don't know what you'll do to him. The mezdin, you know. That's not so. If there happens to be tzar, that's one of the lomdisha in yonim in our perek, is that this knas. And besides knas, there's something called pagam. Pagam is really nezek. Nezek is nezek. She's considered to have been damaged, just like if you chop off someone's arm. So there's a nezek payment. And how do you assess it? You look at now. How do you assess it? This is always a problem. Let's go back to Baba Kama, a chobel. You break someone's arm or you whatever. So there's always a problem. So you have to pay. Now, what do you mean pay? L'chora, there's nothing really monetary going on. This is one of the problems of Chavola, that there's nothing really, a person, a ben chora, he's not an eved, is not a monetary object. So l'chora, it's inappropriate to pay nezek when you chovel a person. I mean, the Torah says you pay nezek. What I mean by inappropriate is it's not really, it really doesn't make sense. And that's why in some makoros, the Gemara at times, and the Rambam especially, and there's Rav Chaim about this, Rav Chaim Halevi, talks about nezek of a person as a knas. But that's the lashon. It's a difficult inyan. I mean, it's a complicated inyan because there's no din of modiv knas potur, but it has certain aspects of knas. And the reason is because in the lashon of the Rishonim, really, ain't dom in ben chorin. A person has no monetary value, so it really it doesn't follow that you should, you know, you want to punish him in whatever way, but what the payment really doesn't make sense. It's not a rational, like sometimes you have, like if you lend me money, so it's considered rational that I have to pay you back. The Torah also says I have to pay you back, but it's considered rational. When I break something of yours, so I have to pay you for it. So that's also, I mean, that's a chiddush. It's intuitive, like you feel, yeah, because even though really, I would like to say, really, you can say the chiddush is really, I should have to replace, if I break your cup, so I should have to replace your cup. What am I giving you money for? You don't want money, you know, go buy me a new cup. I don't want your money. So it's a little cooler involved, but at least it makes sense because you're giving the monetary value of the cup, because the cup is a chefza of something with monetary value. A person is not said to have monetary value.
But it's not really, at least I don't think, it's really the person you're putting the monetary value on. If you break a person's arm and he's unable to do his job.
That's shevis, you're paying shevis. You're paying for, besides nezek, you're paying shevis. You're paying for the time lost of work. But nezek is a more like a long-term, one-time payment for devaluating him. So the way you assess him is by looking at him as an eved bashuk. But it really is not, he's not an eved, he's a ben chorin, an ein domel ben chorin. But upon him, you have that by by your ones also, when your ones a naira, when she's a basula, is they're considered to be damaged. If you injure her, if a person is ma'anez, a 20-year-old, and he injures her in the process, so certainly it's regular nezek. But we're talking about in the din of knas that the only injury in a normal bia, the only injury is said to be the breaking of the bezulah. That's when she's been devalued. That's what I mean. They placed a high priority on bezulah. And you were considered damaged goods, even if you're a mukasaitz.
When you say basulim, you're talking specifically about the physical basulim, not about the concept that she's a basulim. Well, right? Not if she lost her physical basulim.
No, that's mukasaitz. You see, mukasaitz is a machlokas, right? How much al-ksuba is. Mukasaitz is a machlokas if a kohen gadol can marry a mukasaitz. Yeah, so the Gemara says, because you want a shivcha that you can give to an eved, that you want to, you have a good eved, like you want to reward him. The Gemara says that. The Gemara asks you a question. Why, if you're assessing her like a shivcha, what's the difference if she's a basula or not? So the Gemara says you assess her because a shivcha that you want to give it to your eved, sheyesh lo koras ruach mimen. So the knas is seen as, so there's knas, this pagam, which lechora is the good old nezek of the parasha of Chavolah, this tsar we talk about, and boshes. We talk about the chamisha dvarim. Whether there's a new parasha, whether it's it's learned out from a posuk by knas, that the posuk implies that there's other payments to be made as well. So the question is, why do you even need that posuk? Why don't you say it's good old nezek, and it always has a different word. It's like strange. It's called pagam. In the third and fourth parak, it's called pagam. The nezek of an ones or a mafata, for that matter, is called pagam. Okay, so that's an Indian answer. So again, it's damaged. You damaged her. You took away a basulim. Basulim were of a high priority. A woman that was a basula gets a ksuba that she was considered. Like, that's what you want to marry. You want to marry a basula. Like, that's because you have an eved. You want to. You know. Apparently, you see from Achashverosh also that that be a rishona with a basula was considered more pleasurable. I think it's like an emotional thing that, you know, you're the Gemara. That's what the Gemara calls. You're making her a kli. You're the one that's, you know, this is her first bond with a man.
In the Gemara's mind, though, it's not clear to me, like, which is worse to the potential Baal, a woman who's mukaseitz or a woman who had bia lo kedarga and still has her basula?
Right. The Gemara has a shaila about that. That's a good shaila, right. Which is the priority.
Because we can hear both. I think even to our minds it makes...
Even ksuba in the Chumash is called moar habasulos. Kesef yishkol kamoar habasulos. By Mefate, it's called Moar Habasulos, and that's Ksuba is called Moar Habasulos. It's like that's the payment for getting a Basula. With the Araisa, there's no Ksuba for a Ula. It's only with the Rabbana. With the Araisa, it's like this is the payment you get because I got a Basula. Okay. Now what? When she's a Bogeris, I don't know how to understand it. When she's a Bogeris, it's like, I don't know if it's blaming the victim. What are you doing hanging around? You should be married already. Is it that?
I got major problems with that.
Right. So what's the pshat? I'm talking very, I have no basis for anything.
I don't think it's blaming the victim. I think it's more just...
Why isn't there knas by a bogus? Why?
When she's a nara, it's like she's now damaged goods. And when she's a bogus, it's already...
She's already damaged.
Right. She's already damaged.
Yeah. And you see that a bogus is considered not such a basula. There's a machlokas who shown him exactly why, but you see there's a machlokas tanoim and yevomis if a kohen gadol can marry a bogeris, and there's even a shayla how much a ksuba of a bogeris is.
Is the Gemara looking at rape versus different than what we consider
today? That's a
forcible
attack. I'm going to get to that in a second. I'm not up to that yet. Okay. Right now I'm up to like what avla was done. So tomorrow night I want to go into the Beinodim HaMokom avla, that he was boiled a woman without being Mekadosho first. And he did it on a one-time deal. He certainly did it out of the context of Ishus. So that I don't want to get to tomorrow night. Tonight I want to get more of an understanding of where the Torah is coming from. Like, the Torah is coming from a normal society. You have to say that. I'm sorry. And in a normal society, the more I think about it, the more I see the Industrial Revolution, it was not...
as abnormal.
It's abnormal. It's really not a normal society. And then I think it was not take people from Hashem. And if you look at the tremendous advances in science and medicine and physics and chemistry and everything, but people... people were pretty bad then also, though. You read about, I'm saying people were pretty bad then also. But they were more, more basic values. How come people used to, you see, keep it away. I know we're wandering afar, but I'm trying to get, if you read books, I remember reading books even about the late 1800s, life in the late 1800s. Like, kids had kibbutz of aim. Like, kids that Takan did not speak, not spoken to. If they Takan didn't, there was love and awe. It was fear, but it wasn't fear. They didn't beat up kids like that one. They didn't beat them up. The kids were like even my kids. Think about one generation back. My kids, like, I come home, sometimes my kids ask me where I was. And I look at them in shock. I said, I would never have dared ask my father where he went. Where were you, or where are you going? I wouldn't have dared ask my that's one generation back. I would have not, the chutzpah, you ask your father where he's going? What are you, his friend? And my kids always ask me where I'm going and what I did and why I came home late. I don't tell them.
You don't have to go back to the 1800s for this. Like you said, it's one generation.
My
kids
generation,
were different when I was growing up.
Like, I would never, my kids, Kaseder asked me where I was or why I'm late, what I was doing. And I look at them like, chutzpah.
They're certainly not doing it with
I'm saying the society is very... Society has become not normal, so, you know, I don't know what to blame. Blame the Beatles, blame the Industrial Revolution. I think people became, we got to go back to green, we got to be green.
I don't
I think because of the farm work, also, like, no education. Like, you went from being a child to being an adult. You worked on the farm, like, they needed another hand on the farm. Like, there was no, like, you know, so you got married, and you had kids. First of all, half your kids died. Three quarters of the kids died, at least. So, you know, you start having babies when you're 12, 13, and you have a bunch of kids, and you hope half of them survive. I don't know.
This was even a couple hundred years ago, not thousands
even
of years
Europe,
ago.
Even in Europe, even 150, 200 years ago, we can say.
And the women died in childbirth, also much more.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, that's the were advances in medicine. Okay, so Sulam's a priority. It's like a used car, whether we like it or not. First of all, another point I want to make. Sometimes you read things in the Gemara, it seems, to our ears, it seems primitive. Like the way they used to check and make sure the woman, like they stood outside the door and you examined the sheet to see if there was blood on it. But the truth is, we're much worse than they were. We live in a sex-crazed society. I don't know, they didn't. So I tell myself, Adarabba, they looked at it as a natural function, like going to the bathroom. You know, it was a normal thing, like, sort of like Odom and Chava, Koydom Achet, like, so to speak. Like you say, below you spoke Shoshu. They weren't embarrassed. Like, they matter-of-factly, yeah, you know, this is what you do to have babies. Like, there was no, like, the woman wasn't a sex object.
There was no...
What?
Forever. There was nus forever. I mean, there was in Navi there was a zona. I mean, so clearly it was. No, we're not just talking about making babies. I mean, even as far right. I mean, they talked. This was the oldest profession. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's so. Alright.
Okay, but they...
So I'm saying clearly there's some sort
I'm
of
just, I'm pointing
there,
out that they didn't have the same... They obviously were more open. I mean, if they stood outside the door, we would like... We were shocked, you know.
It was...
But we're not better than they are. So the answer I have is that they viewed it as a more natural thing, and it was normal and natural. There's nothing... Everybody's ashamed of, yeah, we want to know if she's a basula or not. Yeah.
It may have been more open back then, but it was also within the framework of morality and ethics. Today, sex is totally outside of that in the general world right now, and it's as perverted as it's gotten, you know, that, you know, the accepted norms of what we're calling normal almost doesn't exist in the world anymore.
But the point I'm making is that our Edelkeit is phony, really. We're more obsessed with sex than they were. That's what I think.
Do we know that checking the sheets was comfortable and everyone was okay with it? Or maybe it was awkward and they just had to do it?
I don't know, but everybody did it. Like, so
it's
normal.
Like, you know, you bring a bad bedika to a rug.
But, so like, it was,
it's
but
awkward.
It was part of
everybody
a marriage.
They have to do it. But, you know... You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it's just something you have to do, but everyone was still awkward about it. Maybe it wasn't.
But there were people involved. I hear what you're saying, but there were people involved. Like, people stood outside the door.
Right.
I don't know. I think our sensitivity is, I think, phony. Like, we cover up a Prostkite with a veneer of civilized, like, you don't talk about it. So that I think sometimes. I don't know. Next, moving on to Knas. Like, we're slapping the guy on the wrist. So how do you think of that? So he's damaging her marriage prospects, and he's damaging her, and he's taking away something very valuable. A woman that was a psula was considered... So I know there's a... I think the Torah... This I think I do have a handle better, a better grasp on. There's a machlokes, like... Not a machlokes. Like, society has shifted from looking at rape as a crime of sex to a crime of violence. That's the... And now conventional wisdom is that it's not about sex, it's a violent crime. It's a way of hurting a woman, but you want to attack her. So I don't know if that's true or not, but you see, the Torah dealt with it as both. The Torah dealt with it as both. First of all, the Torah found the best possible penalty, the best penalty possible. No, the money is maybe a slap on the wrist. The money is very, you have to marry her. And then, like, that is the, that's like a stroke of genius.
But isn't that punishing that the woman? Yeah,
she doesn't have to do it. She could say no.
She could say no, but he doesn't have that choice.
So I think telling a guy that if you rape a woman, you have to marry her is like, finish. You've solved the rape problem in 1 second.
And
you can't give her again. You have to understand, in the Torah society, a man can always be Megarish a woman. You didn't have to have a reason. You just gave her a get. A person that's Ma'anis, a woman, has to marry her, and he's not allowed to divorce her. He has to marry her. He's stuck with her his whole life. You're going to think 10 times before you do it.
The only thing that I'm saying is...
I think it's brilliant.
At least in today's society, the MO, and I'm speaking from... experience and my job, okay? The MO of a rapist is not about hurting the woman, it's about a power trip.
Yeah, well, that's
exactly
what I mean.
What it is,
not,
but, you know,
controlling.
It's control whoever gets in their way.
Why the woman would want to marry him, she has a choice. She could say no. No one's forcing the woman to marry him. She's allowed to say no, and the father's allowed to say no. So she could decide.
But outside
it's
of that,
it's not unheard of that she would want to marry him. What?
I said, but outside of that, besides money, how's he punished them?
No, because he has to marry her.
No. But if the father says no, if she says no, that no, I don't want to marry the.
I think the punishment of having to marry her is, I think, brilliant in terms of preventative. He doesn't know they're going to say no. So he has to know. You know, the Torah's way of dealing with it is, if you do this, you're going to be married to this lady for the rest of your life. And saying you're not allowed to be Megarish her is really unusual. We don't appreciate the penalty of saying you can't be Megarish her, because when you're Megarish her, you can never be Megarish a woman unless she wants. But by Torah law, that if you don't like your wife, you just get rid of her, and he can't. So he literally, like, he's stuck with her.
I think that sits well with everyone. I think the problem that he's having and that I have is, I think that everyone always feels uncomfortable about is still, she's been wronged, and she's not really being fairly compensated.
So the Torah did, so
like her prizes, she gets to marry the guy who raped her,
no,
or to say no.
The compensation, the Torah did not, that's what I'm trying to, the Torah did not view it as, you know, what happened to her, it's going to happen to her eventually. The Torah doesn't see it as, again, we're more like,
not like as violent.
Yeah, the Torah doesn't see it as such a terrible. It's not like you cut off someone's arm. You took away a basulim.
It could be a protecting her. She might not be able to get married also.
That's another point, that he has to marry her because maybe no one's going to want to marry her now. So he has to marry her. So she has a husband, she has a place in society.
But to an extent, there human nature is if somebody rapes her, okay? To be honest, the odds are pretty good. She's going to, I don't want to have anything to do with
it. I'm not sure.
That's today. I don't know.
I'm not sure. You know, there's date rape. There's all, it could be someone she knows. There's all kinds of scenarios.
Mifate is certainly different.
Mifate is a whole different story.
Right. I'm saying Mifate.
The monetary fine, the monetary knas, again, you have to look, the monetary knas is the equivalent of, is what it takes one person to live on for a year. That's the class. It's chamishim kesef, so it's the amount of a ksuba. And a ksuba, conceptually, is the amount of money it takes for a single person to live on for a year. So that's like a hefty sum of money. See, the Torah doesn't have a concept of jail.
At least Maka.
So what are you doing? So that we're going to talk about tomorrow. That he did violate an Isser ben Adam Lamako. You're not allowed to have relations with a woman outside of marriage. So there is a ben Adam Lamako here. We're talking today about the ben Adam Lachamero. So I think of it, you know, mitzad that it's a sexual crime, he has to marry her. Like, that's a good penalty. And mitzad a crime of power and violence, so Itaka has a lot of monetary. He has to pay knas, and nezek, tsar, ripui, shevas, bojus. He has to do all of those things.
Also, before, today when we think of rape, we think of a stranger in the city.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
They hardly moved around. They probably
don't
know each other.
They're living like your whole circle of like 50 people.
Your whole
people.
World.
You know, 50
your
people.
Square mile.
Yeah, where are you going? You don't know anybody. You're not taking a walk. So the money is enough to live on for a year. What I'm trying to say is that it is a hefty sum of money. It would be like today, like you say, you know, let's say if you're living in America, I don't know what the cost of living is, so I'm afraid to look. But if you're living in America, so you say a single person, it costs them $30,000, $40,000 to live. So that's a hush of a penalty. What bothers us is that the Torah doesn't like throw the guy in jail and lock him off. So I don't think there's any getting around the fact that the Torah didn't view it as that damaging. I don't know what I'm saying. You took away a basulim. You know, if you damaged her in some ways, you have to pay for it. You're paying the knas, which is a hefty sum. You have to marry her. That's like a good. I don't think the Torah's out of line.
Yeah, but if she gets married to somebody else, her ksuba is less money.
Well, that's what he's paying her for. The Gemara at times refers to the knas as making up, even though it's a knas, and modev a knas potter and all of that, but the Gemara talks about it in terms of making up what she's missing because she no longer has moar habasulos.
Yeah, but it's not chava, though. It's not chava.
200 zuz.
But doesn't she get 100 now?
Only with Rabbana. Adarabba, she doesn't get anything with your ISA, so she gets the whole 200 from the guy that was Manasa.
Plus an extra 100 for the next Rabbanah.
Well, that's with the Rabbanah. Oh,
what?
She 50 shekel is 200 zuz.
Not
today.
Bulgaris bothers me a lot. Terrigan Bulgaris is already damaged goods. I don't know. But what about the fact that he was Ma'anasol? Like, and what about a katana? What about a katana? According to the Omer, a katana has no knas.
But there could be, at that point, it could be mental damage for life.
What? Yeah. So I guess there's still nezik by katana. You still have to pay nezik. I don't know. Okay. I hope you don't mind that. I think it's.